Amen. You note takers are in trouble this morning. I just want you to know, if you're a note taker, you're in trouble this morning because I don't have 3 or 4 points. And so you're going to be reduced to simply writing down the verse references, which is probably the best thing anyway. And you may get a phrase or two that you want to capture, but this morning's subject does not lend itself to point A, point B, point C, or 1, 2, and 3, and I'm fine with that. Our message this morning is titled, God with Us. What more do we need? God with us, what more do we need? Matthew chapter 1 records the account of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus and the visitation of the angel to Joseph. And it summarizes it with the words recorded in verses 22 and 23 of Matthew chapter 1. And that's our primary text. So I'd like you to turn there with me, Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 22 and 23 as our primary text. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah specifically in chapter 7. Of the book of Isaiah, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So I'm glad that worship team, you sang that, because that's what this is about. We didn't plan that ahead of time, but you know, the Lord has a way of coordinating stuff. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here's the main idea. This is the best I can do for you note takers. Here's the main idea that I want you to capture and that I'm going to develop from this text and other related texts. The main idea is this: the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence is the daily difference in our lives. The Lord's presence is the daily difference in our lives. The Lord's presence is the daily difference in our lives. When you boil it all down, it all boils down to this: the Lord's presence is the daily difference in our lives. If you were to sit me down and talk with me about my spiritual journey, I would have a lot of things to say to you, a lot of exciting stories, and I'd have these insights that I'm chomping on, and we'd talk for hours. I'd probably talk your ears off in terms of what has happened in my life over the 40 years that I have known the Lord, over the 36 years that I've been a pastor, or the 34 years that I've been a pastor. But when it all boils down, it boils down to this. It all comes down to the Lord's presence with me is the daily difference. The Lord's presence with me has been the difference. It has not been because I'm smart. It has not been because I'm skilled. It has not been because I'm cute. It has not been because I'm strong. It has not been because I'm more spiritual than someone else. The Lord's presence is the daily difference in my life and in our lives. What's changing over time? What's different for me, from the time that I came to know Christ to where I am right now, is not that the Lord's presence has become something other than what it has always been. What has changed is my awareness of His presence. What has changed is my sensitivity to His presence. What's changed has been my reliance upon His presence. What's changed has been my enjoyment of His presence. What's changed is how His presence has gone from conceptual and theological to personal. That's what changed. But His presence with me has always been the difference. God with us. You know, Paul wrote that God's plan was once hidden, but now it has been made known. So from Genesis to Revelation, throughout the scripture, God's plan was embedded in the scriptures, but now it has been made known. First, God revealed Himself to us. He revealed Himself to Moses, Old Covenant. He revealed Himself to Abraham and other prophets. But we couldn't get it right. And so God said, let me get a little closer. That didn't work. Let me get a little closer. And He took it to another level. And then God was with us. The Word became flesh, as we read in John. The Lord said, I'm going to dwell among them. And so we have the earthly ministry of Jesus, where God became a man, wrapped Himself in flesh, and walked among us. But Isaiah 53 tells us that didn't work either. It says, and I like the way the King James Version puts it. It says, we esteemed Him not. You know, it could have said we didn't like Him. We didn't believe Him. We rejected Him. But I like that. We esteemed Him not. Or as the young folks used to say, we esteemed Him not. We esteemed Him not. Or as I said last week, we didn't know who You were, sweet little Jesus boy. It made You be born in a manger, but we didn't know who You were. So they crucified Him. But God, thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. He didn't give up then either. He said, let me get a little closer. And so God with us in the church age became not only God with us revealing Himself or walking among us, God with us became God in us through His Holy Spirit. And it's such an amazing thing when we stop to ponder, if you stop and meditate and slow down for a while and just sit with the idea that the living God lives in you, that the Holy Spirit was given to abide in you and I now and forever. And it is His presence in us and with us that is our daily difference. That's what makes this whole journey exciting, fascinating, compelling. That's what sustains us. It's His presence in us. Some of you read last week the Just a Moment piece that I sent out on Friday. Some of you did not, but it relates to this. So I want to remind you of it. I wrote, the Lord inhabits the unfamiliar. He inhabits the unfamiliar and the unexpected. He's on the little dirt road off the main highway. He's in the broom closet just around the corner from the main attraction in the museum. He stands at the end of the line. He sits in the big arena after everybody else has left. He's the last customer just before the store closes. He's not just upon the majestic mountain where few could ever ascend. He clothed divinity in humanity and hid Himself in ordinariness. After being born in a barn, He grew into manhood and walked the dusty streets, loving on strangers and stragglers and outcasts, eventually allowing his enemies to put him to death so he could rise from the dead. The best way to find him is to expect him when you least expect him, in places you may never look. As Jacob pondered when he awoke from an extraordinary dream that was embedded in an ordinary nap, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." God's presence in us is surprising, and it is the difference. Who would have thought that God would have come up with a scheme, a plan, that would involve not just revealing himself, not just walking among us, but his presence being with us by being in us. But that was the plan from the very beginning, and that is the difference. And as Glennis so illustriously reminded us last week as she quoted all of recited all of Luke chapter 1, Mary said to the angel who told her she would bear a son and call him Jesus, "How can this be?" That's the way God operates, leaving us saying, "How can this be?" And his answer is always the same. Me. How can it be? It's all about me. For with God, all things are possible. And with the Lord, nothing is too difficult. And why do you ask my name when it's wonderful? Behold, I am the Lord. The God of all flesh, is anything too difficult for me? His ways are marvelous. It's what he does. It's who he is. So how can this be? The answer is always the same. It's me. God is with us. What more do we need? His presence is the daily difference in our lives. I got a phone call from Sister Helena, and I didn't ask her permission. Do I have your permission? Thank you. Not to put you on the spot. No pressure. But it blessed me, so I wanted to share it with you. I got a call from Sister Helena a couple days ago, and I called her back yesterday morning, and she and I talked for a good long while, and the essence of it all, and you'll have to ask her for all the details, but the essence of it all was that the Lord had worked in her circumstances in such a miraculous and marvelous and personal way, just to remind her that he is with her. That he did it in such a way that it was amazing to her and baffling to everyone else. And some of the people to whom she explained this amazing miracle, some of them got it, and some of them didn't get it. But that's okay, because she understood that it wasn't for them. It was for her. And it was him showing up saying, "Yep, this is me, and this is for you." And we've all had situations like that where the Lord shows up and says, "Yep, this is me, and this is for you. I am with you." And he has so many creative ways of making that known. He has ways of making the simplest things come to life in such a way that we stand back and we marvel at it. And the next day we're wondering, we're looking at that same thing thinking, "Did that really happen? It's just an ordinary thing. How did that happen?" And the answer is always me. That's the Lord's answer. Me. His presence is the daily difference in our lives. I love the melody of my life, I told the Lord the other day. I said, "I love the melody of my life. I love, Lord, how you are composing it and how you continue to surprise me with the arrangement. Just when I think I know where the tune is going, just when I think I know the next note and I'm going to sing along, it goes in some other place." And the Lord says, "It's me. It's me. I am the difference here in your song." God with us. He is the daily difference. What more do we need? From the old covenant to the new, the Lord's most oft-repeated words of reassurance to us are, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. And the implication is, what more do you need? What more do you need to have? What more do you need to know? What more do you need to do? But recognize that I am with you. And the Lord is the one, it says in Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. 5 years ago, I was praying for you all. I've prayed for you since then, too, by the way. But I noted this particular prayer in my journal because I was passionately pleading with the Lord on your behalf as well as on my behalf. And I was thanking him for what he's doing. And I was trusting him to do still more. I was thanking him for the marvels and the miracles that I was experiencing through your lives. And trusting him to keep his foot on the gas and not let up. And I wrote, "Thank you, Lord, for once again relieving the pressure of my subtle, unspoken, but mistaken notion that their spiritual life rests more on my preaching than on your presence." It's me. I'm showing up. I'm reminding you. I'm comforting you. My presence is the difference. I'm keeping you on course. I'm making sure your passion doesn't go off in the weeds, that your perspective is not distorted, that you take on more than I've given you. And it's something because Helena, I told her the day before she called me, the Lord just highlighted her. It's like a little aura showed up and there was her face in my mind. And I prayed specifically for her. And the Lord had her call me to let me know that, you know what, all the prayers you're praying for all the people I'm hearing, and I'm going to give you an example of how I'm answering, and her name is Helena. That's not, Helena is not all I'm doing, but I want you to know that I'm doing it in Helena so that you will be comforted and encouraged that I'm doing it with everybody, whether you see it or not. Because you see, it's not about what you're preaching, it's my presence. That is the difference. Thank you, Jesus. His presence is the daily difference in our lives. Lord, life with you is supernatural. And sometimes the supernatural is very subtle. And the way he deals with us, each one of us, it's like being tuned to a frequency that no one else can hear. And it's just for you. It's just for me. That's how he rolls. What more do we need to know? What more do we need to know, Eleanor? What more do we need to know, John? What more do we need to know, Janice? Grace? What more do we need to know? I am with you, and my presence is the daily difference and will be the daily difference in your life. When you're in a distressing place, he's there. When you are out of ideas, you ever been there? I have been. Out of ideas, he's there. When you're out of resources, I ain't got no more. Go on now. When you're out of resources, he is there. When you're out of gas, I just can't go another step. I just need to sit down. I can't take another step. I can't think another thought. I'm out of gas. He is there. I know he's been there for me. And I know you can say he's been there for me when you're out of gas and when you're out of your mind. When you are out of your mind, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. When you're out of your mind, I've been out of my mind. He is there. What more do you need? Don't fear. I'm with you. My presence is the difference. It's not your wit. It's not your strength. It's not how much you know. My presence has always been the difference, and it always will be. But you know, he's not just with us as a passive observer. Because some folks can be with you and don't make no difference. See, he is not a passive observer. He is benevolently with us. Because he cares. He cares. He's emotionally invested. He's affectionately with us. I thank the Lord that he's not just committed to me. Because you can be committed and have absolutely zero attachment. It's duty that's driving you. But see, he's affectionately. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So he's not just benignly present. He's present and he's passionately, affectionately present. He's attentively present. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Even before a word is on my tongue, you know it all together. So yes, you're present, but you're also attentively present. You're not a passive observer. And because he's with me, there is glorious potential at all times. At all times, in any moment. Any moment can be that one moment that changes everything because he's with us. And when he decides to make himself known, when he decides to do it his way, when he decides to make us alert, oh, there's no denying it. You wind up singing. You wind up pacing. You got to call somebody. You got to tell it. You got to be like Helena. Let me get on the phone and call Pastor. You got to tell somebody. Because it's him. And you know it's him. Because he's there. He's there with me. Glorious potential at all times. He cares. And then he doesn't just care. He acts. And he acts with perfect wisdom. And perfect precision. He does it in a way that leaves us with our mouths hanging open. Yeah. And he does it in such a way that we say, Lord, I'm glad you didn't do it my way. So often, he does it in a way that we never would have expected. And sometimes on the back end of something we never wanted. And we wind up where we always wanted to be. How did you do that? But he's not just with us for a season. He stays. He doesn't come and then go. Friday morning, as I lay awake in my bed thinking about my status and my situation with the Lord, I marveled and rejoiced because his presence is real. And it's now, and it's forever, and he's never going to go away. And that's why the Lord says in Matthew chapter 28, lo, I am with you even till the end of the age. God is with us. What more do we need? His presence is the daily difference, and his presence is the eternal difference. And I pray that this Christmas season, as you go about your Christmas things, that the Lord would highlight for you what is the most precious thing. And it's not under the tree. The most precious thing is that he is with you. And that he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And his way is always the highway. His way is always the way of life. And I'm done. Now we're going to take a few moments and we're going to pass the bread and the cup, and then we'll wish you a Merry Christmas and let you go. Hello.
Hey. Good to see you, sweetie.
Welcome. Thank you.